Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We notice in the margin of our marked Gemaras a nosei, a topic heading. Let us read what we have as far as the topic of the upcoming Gemara. The note says, Ha'oseh psukim shel shir hashirim kamin zemer. One who recites the verses, the psukim, in the Megillas Shir HaShirim, in the book of Shir HaShirim, as if it were a song, using a tune to it other than the official Kriyas HaKsuvim tune, the official trup, as it's often referred to. V'hakorei psukim shel Torah kishok, and one who cites psukim out of the Torah as entertainment. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source, and you can see that it's in a frame. All of the material in the frame is of a Tanaic nature, so as to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. The source starts 5 lines from the top of Kuf Aleph, Omen Aleph. Hakurei Pasuk Shel Shir HaShirim. One who reads a Pasuk from the book of Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs. Va'oisa Oisoi Kamin Zemer. And makes it into a type of song or tune, other than, of course, reading it as psukim with the official traditional tune. V'hakorei posuk bebeis mishtos, beloi zmano, or one who reads a posuk in a situation of drinking wine. Beis mishtos is, Rashi calls this, b'meisiv al yeno. And he reads it beloi zmano. He reads psukim that are not appropriate for the time. Let us say they were sitting drinking wine on a holiday and they were reading psukim that are related to that holiday. That would be something else. So one who does these things, mevi ro l'olam, he brings bad or evil to the world. Because it's to be imagined as if the Torah itself girds itself with sackcloth. And stands in front of Hashem and declares, Ribbono shel Olam, Almighty, Asuni bonecha kekinor shemegnagnim boileitzim, that your sons, your children, the Jewish people, have made me, the Torah, like a musical instrument that is played by fools or by jokers. Omar lo biti. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu turns back to the Torah and says, "B'shol she'ichlam v'shoyis b'meis asku." When they're eating and drinking, so what else should they be occupied with? Omra lefonav. So the Torah answers, "Ribono shel olam, im bali mikrohen yasku b'torah v'nivim miksuvim." If the people are sitting and eating and drinking, and you're asking what they should be involved with, let them be involved with Torah study. If they're people that their Torah study is focused on Mikra, on the scriptures, so let them be osek, let them involve themselves with the explanation and interpretation of verses out of the Torah, Neviim and Ksuvim, and not just citing, singing songs out of Psukim that are inappropriate. Imbali Mishnahim, the Askuva Mishnah, the Halachas Uvahagodos. If there are people that are learning Mishnayas, in other words, their focus of learning is of a Mishnaic nature, or possibly if that's their level of learning, then let them be involved with literature that's associated with the Mishnah and Halacha Lemoshe Misinai and Agadic passages. The Imbali Talmud Haim, if they are people that are familiar or are holding at the level of learning of a Talmudic nature, of a Gemara nature, then Yasku Behilchas Pesach BePesach, Behilchas Atzeres BeAtzeres, Behilchas Chag BeChag. Then, depending on the season, let them be involved with the halachas that are relevant to the holiday that is approaching. Heyed Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya. Call a curry posuk bizmano to an opposite scenario of what was featured earlier in the source, where the source spoke about below zmano. Here he says bizmano. If when one reads psukim that are appropriate for that particular time, mevi toiva lo'olam, as opposed to what was said above, we had mevi ro'o lo'olam. Here we say mevi toiva lo'olam. And notice with our markings, we've added different types of underlining so that you can easily contrast that which was said earlier. And in addition to that, you can navigate with the arrows that we've provided in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So one who reads psukim bizmano at their appropriate times, as we mentioned, psukim that are relevant to the holidays during the holiday season, he brings good to the world. Shinemar v'davar bi'itoi ma toiv. Bi'ito means in its time. Brings tov, brings good. V'haloichesh al hamaka. The topic heading that we've provided for this Gemara says, on the side, lochesh al hamaka. What is that? Hazkoras psukim shel Torah, one who recites psukim from the Torah, al hamako l'shem rufuasa, over an injury that a person has, a bruise or injury that a person has, for the purpose of refuah, for the purpose of it getting healed. The Mishnah said that one who is lochesh al hamako also loses his portion in the world to come. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, uberoi kekba. This severe penalty that the Mishnah features is provided that he also spits during this recitation. Lefi she'ein mazkirin shem shemayim al horokika. When one does not mention God's name over spit. So what we're talking about here is a situation where a person has an injury, he spits, and then he recites a posuk with the hope of that will help him get better. Let us glance at the Rashi in the inside mark, inside column. Uvarokek, shekein derech malachshim, this is the way of people who cite incantations, l'rakek, to spit, koidem halachash, before their recitation. V'osur l'haskir posuk al halachisha. V'yesh l'chashim shidakun l'rakek achareihem. And there are those types of incantations where one recites the incantation and then spits. V'oimerosim b'loshim la'az, u'mazkirin lahem shem b'loshim la'az. And those are recited in foreign tongues, and they say God's name in the foreign tongue. The Amalei Rebbe, the mutter, that is mutter. The ein osir elo loichesh acha horakiko. That which is forbidden is the recitation after the spitting. In other words, the order of events that's prohibited is first the spitting and then the recitation of the posuk. Dinira shemaskir Hashem al horakiko, because it appears as if he's saying the name of God on the existing spit. V'oid loyne sar elo b'loshen hakodesh avol b'laz lo. And a further reason for relaxing the severity in the event that he does the alternative way, where it's done in a foreign tongue, that too is not the severe offense that the Mishnah is referring to. We continue in the Gemara and we see further statements on this very topic in increasing severity. Itmar Rav Omar Afilu Nega Tzoras. Rav says that the prohibition of reciting a pasuk over the spit is a situation where he cites a pasuk that doesn't even have God's name in it. For example, this pasuk, and Rashi quotes it, Nega Tzoras Ki Siev Odom V'Uva Lokoyin, where it refers to something that's ailment related, tzoras being an ailment, but it doesn't have God's name in it, and still one would lose his portion in the world to come. Rav Chanina goes even further, Omar Afilu Vayikro El Moshe, even a pasuk like that, where it doesn't, not only does it not, it where it, he says Vayikro El Moshe as a pasuk, where there's no reference to an ailment in it, but his calculation is that through the merit of saying Torah, he will be healed. This too is forbidden. So between Rav and Rav Chanina, we have additional stringencies. According to Rav, even if it's a posuk that doesn't have God's name in it, and as long as it's refuah related, as long as it has some kind of association with healing, and according to Rav Chanina, even if it has no association with healing, simply the recitation of the posuk in the hopes of being healed in the merit of the Torah, that too is forbidden. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that deals with issues of healing and introduces the problems of refuas with regard to Shabbos. Sochin umimash machine bivnei me'ayim b'Shabbos. One is allowed to smear oils and to massage the bnei me'ayim, one's belly, on Shabbos. And this is not prohibited under the restriction of refuah b'Shabbos, medical procedures that are, generally speaking, prohibited on Shabbos, unless, of course, they're life-threatening. V'loichashin l'chishas nechoshim v'akrovim b'Shabbos. One is allowed to recite in certain incantations in order to prevent snakes and scorpions from doing their damage on Shabbos, and there is no problem in the recitation of these incantations of trapping, of meleches tzeda. Umavirin kli al gav ho'ayin b'Shabbos. One is allowed to take a metal utensil and put it on his aching eye on Shabbos. The cold metal is said to relieve the pain in the eye. Under what circumstances do we allow this havoras kli agavayim b'Shabbos? Bechli hanital, a kli that itself is allowed in movement. Bechli she'eno nital, osir. However, vessels that themselves are not allowed to be moved on Shabbos, those kind of vessels are not allowed to be placed on one's eye either. V'ein sholim b'dvar sheidim b'Shabbos. One is not allowed to elicit the assistance of demons on Shabbos. Rashi points out that when people would lose an article, they would consult with demons, and the Shadim would tell them where the item is. So Rashi says that this is forbidden in interpreting the words of this Tanakama. It's forbidden based on Mamso Chafotzecha, that the Pasuk in Yeshaya says that one's speech on Shabbos should be different from his speech on Chol, on a weekday. And since this is a practice that people engaged in during the weekday, one should restrict themselves from it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Oimer Ach B'Chol Osir. Rabbi Yossi goes further and says the whole preoccupation with demons is forbidden even during the weekdays. Omar Rav Huna, Halachic Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna rules, Rav Huna being an Amora, rules as Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, in the Tanaic source we just read. The Af Rabbi Yossi lo omra elo mishum sakona. Rabbi Yossi's restriction in consulting with the demons is because that entails an element of danger. Kiha de Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef de ivla ba'arza. There was an incident where Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef was apparently involved with. Rashi says he was shoyel b'maisa shadim, and the shade, the demon, caused him to be absorbed in an erez tree. So Rav Yitzchak was absorbed in a tree. This avid le'nisa, and a miracle happened. Poka arzil palte, and the tree, the Erez tree, split open and cast him out. He was saved, but miraculously. But otherwise, we see that involvement with the demons can lead to danger. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara picks up again with this oil massage process that we said is allowed on Shabbos, but with some qualifications. So the Tanaic source says, Tanu Rabbanan, Sochenu Memashrish Mevnei Me'an B'Shabbos, one's allowed to smear oil and massage his belly on Shabbos. Ubavad shelo yase kederech shu oisa b'chol. Provided he doesn't do this the same way he would do during a weekday. Hechi ovid. So how should he do it that would constitute a shinui, that would constitute a different way? So it would be important for us to recognize how it's done during the chol as well. So number one, Rabbi Chama, Omar sach v'achar kach mimashmesh, by applying the oil and then doing the massage, this would be a shinui from the chol, because during the chol the derech is to do the massage and then apply the oil. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan's suggestion is soch umemashmesh bevasachas, where the massaging and the application of the oil are done simultaneously, that would constitute a shinui. Tanu Rabbanan. What we're going to discuss now, it has to do with the topic of Maisa Shadim. In consulting or working along with the demons, different accessories were used as well. Sore Shemen Vesore Beitim. This is a reference to demon consultation that's done together with oil or with eggs. Mutorin Lishol Bohen. It's allowed to do that, to consult with those kind of demons that one does together with oil or eggs. However, people, generally speaking, didn't do it, Elo Mipnei Shemechazvin, but since they often lied, they didn't do that. Lochashin al Shemen Shebekli, V'ein Lochashin al Shemen Shebeyad. Incantations, when recited using oil, it would be using oil that's in a vessel. However, people would not recite these incantations over oil that's smeared on someone's hand or that's cupped in someone's hand. Lefikach, as a result of this knowledge, we'll call this pre-knowledge, that incantations over oil were done only on oil in vessels. Lefikach sochin mishemen shebiyad, v'ein sochin mishemen shebekli. When one wants to smear himself with oil, and he doesn't know where everything is coming from, all he sees some oil in a vessel. If he sees oil in a vessel, he has to be choshesh. He has to consider the possibility that some incantations were said over the oil. We'll call it the demon incantations. And that, without knowing the whole story, just seeing oil in a vessel, that could be dangerous. Therefore, this source says that ein sochin mishemen shebekli. Notice the lettering that we have here. The aleph corresponds to the aleph mentioned earlier on the line, that when incantations were said over oil, it was done over oil only in vessels. However, since people don't recite the incantations over oil in someone's hand, if someone has oil in their hand, you can smear yourself with that kind of oil. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, this individual, Iklo Lahu Ushbizo, he went to an inn, Aisi Le Mishcha B'mona, and they presented him some oil in a vessel. Shof, he smeared his face with it. Nafkon Le Tzimchi B'ape, and some bruises or blisters appeared on his face. Nofak L'shuk, he went outside. Chazise Ha'itzo, a woman noticed him. Omra, and she said, Zika de Hamas kochazino hocha. I see the spirit of a demon whose name is Hamas on your face. Ovdo le milsa, she did something, she did some type of spell, the itzi, and he got better. Omar le Rabbi Abo le Rabbo Bamori. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Kol hamachlo asher samti Mitzrayim lo osim alecho, ki ani Hashem roivecho. All ailments that I placed on Mitzrayim in the time that the Jews were in bondage over there, the Pasuk says, I will not place upon you, because I am the Lord, I am the God that heals. Well, there's a certain obvious question here. The Chimeacha Shalosam, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us they will not place these ailments on us in the first place, Rufu Olama, then what's the necessity of mentioning that he heals? Omar Lei, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So the question was posed to Rabbo. Rabbo answers Rabbi Abba, and he says, thusly says Rabbi Yochanan, Mikra Ze Me'atzmoy Nidrash. This posuk, by reading it carefully, you'll notice is self-explanatory. Shinemar. And at this point, we are quoting from the beginning of the pasuk, and for your convenience, we've included the entire pasuk on the side in our marked Gemara edition. The beginning says, "Vayomer im shomoya tishma b'koil Hashem Elokecha," that if you heed the words of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, im tishma lo asim. If you keep the Torah and mitzvahs, I won't place these maladies and ailments on you in the first place. However, v'im loy tishma osim. If you don't listen, that's inferred from the pasuk. The pasuk says that I won't place them if you listen. But if you don't listen to the Torah precepts, so then I will place them. Afal pikein. But even so, even though I will place these maladies upon you, ki ani Hashem roifecha, I will heal you all the same. In other words, it's not a hopeless situation, even in the event that you're not keeping the Torah. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice a new geometric form, and this is featured in the Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara a bow tie form with an explanation. Shnei Maisim Shel Bikur Harabonim Eitzel Rebbe Lozer B'Sof Yom of two incidents featured in the Gemara where the rabbis visited Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol, when he was on his deathbed. Omar Rabbo Barachana. The first incident is not featured in a Tanaic source, even though Rebbe Eliezer himself was from the Tanaic period. The material itself that the Gemara presents is quoted by Rabbo Bar Chana, hence you don't see a frame around the following lines. The second bow tie, though, is part of a brisa. So as we go on in the Gemara, Rabbo Bar Chana tells us, Kishechola Rebbe Lezer, when he took ill, Nichnesu Talmidov Levakro, his students came to visit him. Omar Lohem, Rebbe Lozer says, Chemo azo yesh bo'ilam. There is great wrath on the world. What he's really saying, he's saying on himself that he feels that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is angry with him, and as a result of this anger, the ailment is taking a turn for the worse. Hischilu hein boichin, the students, upon hearing that, they started to cry. Rebbe Kiva, who was amongst them, Mesachek, he showed an expression of happiness. Omru lo lama ata masachik. They asked him, why are you happy? Omar lohen v'chimit neima atem bochim. Why are you crying? Omru lo. So they responded, Efshir sefer Torah shori b'tzar v'lo nifke. Could it be that a sefer Torah, a Torah scroll, and this is an allusion to Rabbi Eliezer, who was a walking Torah, so to speak, that could it be that a Torah scroll is in pain, in suffering, and v'lo nivken, we shouldn't cry? Omar lahem, l'kach ani mesachik. It's for this very reason that I'm showing expressions of joy. Kol zman shani roya Rebbe, all the time that I see our master, our rav, our rabbi, that he is experiencing success in life, I have reason to be worried. Calls Mashni Rebbe She'ein Yeno Machmis, that his wine doesn't go sour. Ve'ein Pishtono Loke, and his flax, which is processed into linen, doesn't go bad. Ve'ein Shmono Mavish, and his oil doesn't become rancid. Ve'ein Duvshono Madvish, and his honey doesn't spoil. Amarti, I figured Shemo Chas V'Shalom Kibo Rabbi Oilomoy. I'm thinking that maybe all of the reward that is destined to our master is he is receiving in this world, and as far as the next world is concerned, nothing will be left. The Afshav Shani Roya Rebbe Bitzar Ani Somech. Now that I see our master experiencing pain, that gives me joy in knowing that that in the world to come he will receive his reward, and that it's not received in this world. Omar Loi, Rabbi Eliezer says, Akiva klum chisarti min haTorah kulo. It seems that if one does experience some kind of tsar, it must reflect that I have sinned in some area. And to this he asks, where have I sinned? Have I not fulfilled the entire Torah? If one pauses on this line, it can serve to put in proportions who our Tanoim were. Can you imagine a person saying about himself, is there anything of the Torah that I left out? One reads this and he's left with his jaw hanging open, that a person could reach such heights of piety and righteousness where he can look back on his life and say that he has fulfilled all of the Torah and not left anything out. Rabbi Kiva responds and says, I can't point to anything specifically, which itself is amazing, but he says, Omar lo, Rabbi Kiva responds, Lima detana Rabbeinu, you taught us, ki odom ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yase tov velo yechta. It's impossible for there to be a righteous person who exists in this world that does good and in the course of his life doesn't sin. In other words, it's impossible to go through life with all good intentions aside. It's impossible to go through life without performing some sin. And that you taught us. Tana Rabbanan, Kishecholo Rabbi Eliezer, Nichnesu Arbo Zekenim Levakro. When Rabbi Eliezer took ill, four sages came in and to visit him. We can notice the difference. Before, the visitors were featured as students. Here, they are featured as colleagues or superiors. They were Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. It's interesting to note that in the previous story, Rabbi Kiva was included amongst the heading Talmidov, and here he's included as a Kenim. This may reflect the fact that they started out as Talmidim, and in the course of their lives, they grew to a great level where they could then be termed Zekenim. Nene Rabbi Tarfon V'Omar. Toiv ato l'Yisrael mitipo shel kishomim. You are more beneficial to Israel than a drop of rain. Rain being the symbol of blessing and plenty. And yet you are superior. Shetipo shel kishomim bo'olam hazeh. Rain is beneficial in this world. V'rebi bo'olam hazeh u'bo'olam habo. And you provide benefit not only in this world, but in the world to come as well. Nene Rabbi Yeshua v'yomar tov ato l'Yisrael yisr migal golchama. You are greater than the sun. The Shigal Golchama B'Olam Hazeh, the sun exists in this world. Rashi points out that, however, in the future, the sources of light will change to something new, so that the sun, as we know it, exists in this world alone. V'Rebi B'Olam Hazeh U'B'Olam Habo. Nene Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'yomar, Toiv ato l'Yisrael yoser mi'av v'aim. You are better than even a father and mother. She'av v'aim b'olam hazeh. Parents bring their children into this world. V'rebi b'olam hazeh u'b'olam habo. But you are of benefit to us in this world and the world to come. Nene Rabbi Akiva v'yomar, Chavivin yisurin. beloved are troubles. Omar Lohem, Rabbi Elazar, upon hearing this rather odd remark that troubles are desirable, Rabbi Elazar says, Samchuni, prop me up, ve'eshma'o divrei Rabbi Kiva Talmidei shama chaviv in Yisurin. I want to hear, what does he mean, what does Rabbi Kiva, my student, mean when he says that Yisurin, that troubles, trials and tribulations are desirable. Omar lo, Akiva zu minayin loch. So Rabbi Elazar turns to Rabbi Kiva and says, from where do you know this? Omar, Rabbi Kiva responds, Mikro ani doresh. I'm citing a posuk from which one can derive this message or this teaching that Yisurin have a positive side to them. The Braisa continues with Rabbi Kiva's proof. The posuk that he cites describes the life of King Menashe. Menashe was the son of Chizkiyo HaMelech toward the latter part of the first temple period. The posuk says, Ben Shteimis Rei Shana Menashe B'Mocho. He took over the throne at age 12. V'chamishim v'chamesh Shana Molach B'Yerushalayim. And for a period of 55 years, he ruled in Yerushalayim. V'yas Hara B'Enei Hashem. And he did... He did bad. He performed evil in the eyes of God. Uksiv gam ele mishle Shlomo ashehetiko anshe Chizkiyo Melech Yuda. There's a pasuk that says that the book of Mishle that was authored originally by Shlomo Melech. It's a sefer that contains innumerable amounts of wisdom in it. It was edited and put down into writing by the men of Chizkiyo, by, we'll say, Chizkiyo's court. Now, Chizkiyo was the father of Menashe. And this book authored by Shlomo HaMelech, by King Solomon, was a book full of wisdom and proper behavior. And here we have described a father-son situation, Chizkiyo HaMelech, who is responsible for the editing and for the, let's say, the compilation of the of this book of great wisdom, divine wisdom. And he had a son that went off the path. V'chi Chizkiyo HaMelech Yehuda, l'kol ha'olam kulo limei Torah, l'masha benoi lo limei Torah. Could it be that King Chizkiyo was successful in teaching Torah to the entire world, and to his own son he didn't teach Torah? Ela mikol terach shetorach boi, umikol omal sheomal bo, from all of the exertion that he did, in fact, invest in his son to teach him Torah, lo he'eleo l'mutov, that did not put him onto the path of good. Elo Yisurin. The only thing that straightened out Menashe were troubles, were sufferings. Shinemar, and this will be proven as we go on in the Gemara, in the Tanaic source. The Pasuk says, Vayedaber Hashem el Menashe ve'el Amoi, ve'lo hikshivo. Vayove, the Kodesh Baruch Hu attempted to communicate with Menashe and his nation, and they didn't heed. Vayove Hashem aleim es sorei hatzova shel melech Ashur, and Kodesh Baruch Hu, as a result of their obstinance, brought upon them the armies of the king of Assyria. Vayukadu es Menashe b'choichim v'yasru b'nechoshtayim. The armies of the king of Asher captured Menashe and they enshackled him. Ve'alichu bovela, and they brought him to Bovel. Uksiv uveheitzar loy chilo es penei Hashem elokov. And when he was being subjected to oppression, when he was beheitzar lo, notice we've dashed, underlined that expression. This is a reference to the Yisurim we mentioned before, the trials and tribulations that he was exposed to. He then beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, Vayachna Ma'od, Vayikona Ma'od Milifnei Elokei Avoisov. He became very humbled in front of Hashem, Vayispalei Lov, Vayosir Lo. He prayed to God, and he beseeched him, Vayishma Tichinosoi Veshiver Yerushalayim Malchuso. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his prayers and restored him to Jerusalem, to his throne. Vayeda Menashe Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. And Menashe realized that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is the only true God. Ha Lamadata. From this you see Shechavivin Yisurin. You see the benefit of Tzoras, of troubles. What Seichel HaYosher doesn't often accomplish, what basic wisdom and knowledge doesn't accomplish, troubles do succeed. Tanu Rabbanan, Shloisha Bo Balila. There are three that approach the Kodesh Baruch Hu in an argumentative type fashion, and not in a prayer beseeching fashion. That's how we'll explain the term alila, but to better understand it, we'll simply look at the examples and it'll become clearer. And the three that approached God with this alila fashion, as opposed to a tefila fashion, a prayer fashion, they are Kayin, Esav, Umenashe. Kayin dichtiv. Concerning Kayin, the Torah says, Kayin, who in the story of creation, in the very beginning of the Sefer Torah, we find Kayin killed his brother Hevel, and he was then subjected to exile, and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Godol avoni minso. That is the posuk, Omar lefonov. He says to him, and now the Gemara, the Brisa explains what was meant. Ribbono shel Olam, Almighty, klum godol avoni, is my sin any greater, mishishim riboy she'asidim lachto lefanecha, than 600,000 people that in the future are going to sin? And this is a reference to the Jewish people in the Midbar, where we find them violating and sinning. V'ata soleach lahem, and you forgave them. We found the Jews practicing the golden calf ritual, and which was a major sin, and yet we find that through tefillah they were forgiven. And is my sin any greater than that? So can you not forgive me as well? Esav dichtiv. Esav came with alila, in this case not to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but to his father. When Yitzchak, Esav's father, blessed Yankiv, and Esav felt that he was shortchanged and that he didn't get the main blessing, he says, HaBrocha achasi l'chavi, do you have only one brocha? Menashe, the story of Menashe we saw above. Here the Brisa presents it as follows. Betchila kor lelos harbe, when Menashe saw that he was experiencing suffering, he turned to all kinds of different idols. Ulubasof kor lelakei avoisov, and only afterwards he turned to God. Now, what does it mean that he came be'alila in the case of Menashe? So, Menashe essentially turned to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and said, listen, I turned to all these other idols, and they didn't help me. If you don't help me, then Chas v'Sholem, you are no different than they are, putting the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in the corner, kiviyochol. And in that type of approach is what the Brisa referred to as boyim ba'alila. Abba Sholem, af ha'hoige es Hashem ba'os yosov. Someone who pronounces the ineffable name is also subject to losing his chelik l'olam haba. Tana, the source that the Gemara cites here qualifies this. When is it that there is a loss of chelik l'olam haba? So, ubigvulin. This is so. If a person recites the ineffable name in Hebrew outside the Beis Hamikdash. Whereas if one were to do this in the Beis Hamikdash, since in the Holy Temple, there was part of the temple service, the recitation of the ineffable name, even if one did it as not part of the service itself, but he did it in the Beis HaMikdash, it wouldn't be considered the major offense that's being referred to by the Mishnah. Therefore, this source says that the recitation of the ineffable name, if done outside, Bigvulin is a reference to outside the Beis HaMikdash, then he's encountering this major offense. Ubaloshan Oga. Rashi takes time to explain this. According to Rashi, Beloshen Oga is a reference to a foreign tongue, some kind of speech other than Hebrew. So if one is engaged in the recitation of God's name using something other than the Hebrew pronunciation, and he does it even in the Beis HaMikdash, this would be considered an offense of Hoyge es Hashem Ba'os Yosef. It might be pointed out that this topic itself has a number of different commentaries that explain it, and for our purposes, in the context of this shiur, we will settle with what we've said till this point. But be aware that there is more to research on this topic. Shloisha melachim varbo hedyotis v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned that there were three kings and four commoners that are cited by name as having lost their portion in Olam Haba. The Gemara at this point will be focusing on Yerovam ben Nevat and analyzing his name. The topic heading that we've assigned to this section, you can see in the outside margin, Yerovam. Number one, Ma me'achore shmo, what's behind his name? Number two, Menolon di ein lo chelek l'olam haba. From where do we know that he in fact does not have a chelek in olam haba? This will be the focus of the Gemara's questioning on the second line under the Rashi commentary in the Gemara itself, the point at which the bracketed section finishes, which we will see later. And a third issue that the Gemara will deal with, Bame Zochel Malchus, through what merit did he have in gaining the leadership position that he ultimately achieved as being the head of the 10 northern tribes? And number four, Lomo Ne'enash, why was he punished? Tana Rabbanan, Yerovam. We look at the name and we analyze it. Sheriva Om. Riva literally means to lay down, in this case, lower, or cause them to be lowly. He caused his people to be lowly. Dover Acher, Yerovam, Sheosa Meriva Ba'am. That he caused strife amongst the people. Rashi addresses this, Sheriva Om. The first expression was Sheribates es Yisrael v'shpilam. He cast them down and lowered them. And the second Rashi on this point is Asa Meriva Ba'am Herivam Elu im Elu. He caused internal strife. Be'esek avodes kechavim ze oved v'ze moche biyado ubo lidei machlokas. He promulgated idol worship, but amongst the people there were those that resisted. So those that were not in favor of his idolatrous practices protested those that were in favor of it. Dover Acher, Yerovam, Shosam Riva ben Yisrael Avim Shebashamayim. He caused strife between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Almighty. Ben Nevat. He's known as Yerovam ben Nevat. So ben Nevat is the following: Ben Shenibet Veloy Ra'ah, a son who saw and didn't understand what he saw. This will be explained a bit later in the Gemara. Tana, Hu Nevot, Hu Micha, Hu Sheva Ben Bichri. This Tanaic source claims, if you take it literally, that these three people were really one in the same. The father of Yerovam is Micha, who is an infamous character, who lived at the time, we'll see a bit later, lived at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, who created an idol that drew public attention, public worship. And who? Sheva ben Bichri. This is a person who rebelled in the time of David HaMelech.
now the Gemara looks at each name that we just cited, Nevat, Shenibet Velo Ra'a. He saw something and didn't understand what he was seeing. The Rashi in the outside margin says, in the outside column of Rashi commentary, Shenibe v'lo ra, hoya savor lahabit yofe v'lamoid adover ikar, v'lo ra, he thought that he was understanding what he saw, but he didn't. Shetah, k'namrin l'kamon ra, eish yotza me'amoso, he saw fire coming forth from his Aver Habris. This the Gemara will mention a bit later. Continuing in the source, Micha, that name is a description of something else about him. Shenismachmech bevinyan, he was crushed in the building of the structures that the Jewish people were engaged in during their sojourn in Mitzrayim. The Rashi elaborates, bringing some background to this, that when the Egyptians started cranking up the pressure on the Jewish people, there was a situation where when they didn't have straw for the making of cement, the Egyptians would come along and take Jewish children and put them between the blocks in the buildings so as to occupy where a brick should have been placed. And this aroused Moshe Rabbeinu's great mercy and rage, and he turns to Kodesh Baruch Hu and says to him, Lama harei oisa lamaze, why are you making things bad for this people? HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, you don't really have to worry, because those babies that are being placed as bricks in the buildings are babies that if they were to grow up, nothing good would come from them. And if you don't believe me, take one of them out. And Moshe Rabbeinu took one of these babies out, and he turned into Micha, an infamous character who eventually set up an idol and tried to lead people away from the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the word Micha comes from Shenismachmech. He was crushed in the building, as we just described. Umashma, what's his real name? Sheva ben Bichri Shmoi. And we know this very man was part of a rebellion after the removal of Avshalom toward the end of David HaMelech's kingdom. At this point in the Gemara, we see a bracketed section that lasts a number of lines. The length indicator is seen by the vertical dash dotted line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So when you notice the end where that line ends in the Gemara text, you'll find the closing of the brackets. We also have a note on the side of the Gemara where we've written in a star. Acharei hasograim, haGemara mamshicha beinyan Yeravam. After this bracketed section, the Gemara will continue. We'll return to the discussion concerning Yeravam. Tanu Rabbanan. That having been said, though, we will go through the Gemara straight, reading the bracketed section. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Nibtu v'lo Ra'u. There are three that gazed, that looked, but they didn't understand what they were seeing. Ve'eluhein, Nevot v'achitofel v'itztagnine paro. In our markings, you can see we have a volcano form, and on the side of our Gemara, we've included a nosei, and we've indicated b'toch hasograim, a nosei, a topic, in the bracketed section, a mivneh, with a structural note. So we feature this geometric form, we call it the volcano marking. As all geometric forms in the marking system, it represents a series. Sidra shel anoshim, a series of people, shenibtu, Loshon lahabit. Lahabit means to look, to gaze upon something. They looked at something. V'lo ro'u, klomar lo hevinu. They looked but didn't understand what they were seeing. Nevot. Ro'o eish shiyotzeis me'amoso. He saw a fire issue forth from his male organ, who sabar, he thought that this fire represented power, that ihu molech, that he was going to become a ruler. And with that in mind, he took the liberties of rebelling against David HaMelech, as we mentioned a bit earlier. Velohi. And this was not the case, though, that he himself became a leader, but rather Yerovam, who the Nafak Mineh. Yerovam, his son, he became a leader, and that's what this fire coming specifically from the organ of reproduction represented. Achitofel, ro'o tzoras shezorcho loy al amoso. Achitofel noticed a negat tzoras. This is a skin discoloring that appeared on his organ of reproduction. Hu savar ihu melech. He thought that this was a sign that he was going to become a king. As a result of this sign and his erroneous interpretation, he decided to leave the court of King David and become an advisor to Avshalom, and participate in the rebellion, calculating that eventually he would assume the rulership position. Velo he, and that was erroneous. Basheva bito, hu the nafka mino Shlomo. Basheva, his daughter, but technically speaking his granddaughter, is the one that issued forth from him, that mothered Shlomo HaMelech. So, in effect, Achitofel's great-grandson was Shlomo HaMelech, was a king, and it was not he himself, Achitofel himself, that became the ruler, but rather his descendant. It's Tagdine Paro, where did they go wrong? The Omar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Mai Dechtiv. What is the meaning of the following pasuk? Hemo Mei Meriva. In Sefer Bamidbar, we find the Jews complaining out of lack of water, and Moshe Rabbeinu miraculously brought water forth, but they were referred to as the waters of strife. This is a case where true Moshe Rabbeinu brought the waters forth in the Midbar miraculously, but he did so by telling the people, first, Shimu no Hamoirim, listen to me, you rebellious ones. And as a result of that, he Moshe Rabbeinu, lost his right to coming into Eretz Yisrael. The story of hitting the rock, etc. So, the Pasuk itself says, Hema, these are the waters of strife. And what does it mean, these are, the emphasis on the word Hema? So we explain, Hema, these are the waters, Shero, it's the Gnine Paro, Vito, the magicians and stargazers of Paro, we'll call them the fortune tellers or the future tellers that were in the court of Paro, they saw that the Jewish leadership, the savior of the Jews, namely Moshe, would have his downfall through water. However, they didn't know which water, Vito'u. He made a mistake. And with our numbering, with our letterings, we've indicated Aleph, Ro'u, Itzei Paro, and To, Beis, is they made a mistake. Here the Gemara elaborates, point for point. Aleph, Ro'u, Shemoshin Shisrael B'mayim Huloke, they saw that the Savior of Israel would suffer a setback through water. Omar, upon their informing Paro that the Savior of the Jews will experience a setback through water, Paro said, Kol haben hayilod hayo'iro tashichu. Paro issued his edict of having all the male Jewish boys, the newborns, thrown into the river. Vehein lo yodu, however, they did not know that it's not simple water that would cause the downfall, which led to Paro's erroneous edict, Vehein lo yodu shal iske mei meriva loike, that it's through the waters of strife, through that incident that we mentioned before in the Midbar, that Moshe Rabbeinu would suffer his setback. And as Rashi says, at that point he said, Shimu no hamurim, listen to me, you rebellious people. And Rashi says that through that he was nenash, he was punished, v'lo nichnas l'eretz Yisrael, and as a result of that he did not enter the land of Israel. So it's those waters that they saw but didn't understand. They saw that he would be, his setback would be through water, but didn't realize which ones. Turning back to Yeravam, Umenolon delo osi la'amad osi, from where do we know that Yeravam doesn't enter the world to come? Before we go further, we have a topic heading, Ha'ho'chocha di Yeravam ein lo chelik lo mabo, the proof that he has no chelik in olam mabo, and mipnei ma'anenash, and why was he punished? We featured these points above, but we're writing them in here closer to their location in the Gemara itself. So the Gemara asks, from where do we know that Yeravam doesn't come to the Olam Haba? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayhi b'dover hazeh l'chatas beis Yeravam u'lahakhid u'lahashmid me'al p'nei adoma. There's a double expression in this Pasuk, or two words that are very similar in meaning, l'hakhid and l'hashmid. And it's interpreted as follows. L'hachid means to be cast away, bo'olam hazeh, that he was removed from this world. U'lahashmid equals l'olam haba, with regard to the world to come. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei ma zocha Yeravam l'malchus. What merit did he have that enabled him to achieve monarchy? Answer, mipnei shehuchiach es shlomo. Because he had the backbone to chastise Shlomo. And we'll see what the nature of his chastising was as the Gemara unfolds. So if that was a good thing that he did, so why was he punished? Answer, because he did his chastising in public with the intent of embarrassing him. Shenemar, v'zeh davar shehirim yad b'melech Shlomo, bono es hamiloi, Sogar es peretz ir David Aviv. The Pasuk refers to Yeravam taking issue with Shlomo HaMelech having built up or sealing openings in the walls of Jerusalem. And the Gemara explains more as we go on. Omar lo, Yeravam turned to Shlomo and said, David Avicha, David, your father, Poratz protzos b'choyma, he broke open openings in the wall, kidei shi'alu Yisrael l'regel, so as to make it easier for the Jews during the three festivals of the year, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, and Sukkot, that was a time that masses of people would come to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, with animals and Meiser Sheni to be eaten there and to be celebrated there. And these openings made it easier for them to come. V'ato godarta oisam, and you fenced them up. You blocked up those openings, those wide openings. Kidei lasos angaria labas paro. There are different interpretations to this particular phrase. Lasos angaria labas paro. Rashi says in the inside column, "Kadarta, ve'ata gadarta oisam kidei lasas angaria kidei shikonsu b'ba'she'orim, so that they should go through specific gates, as opposed to through large openings that was characteristic of the time of David HaMelech. Leida minichnas, so that you would know who is going in on an individual basis." Kedei livvois mas lebas paro, so that you would have a means of collecting a toll, the money of which was used to cater to bas paro, which was one of the women that that Shlomo Melech we could say he took in, married, and the Yeravam was claiming that all of his intent was to amass a large fortune for that purpose. There are other interpretations that Rashi shares, but for our purposes, we see that Yeravam is taking issue with Shlomo HaMelech with regard to Aliyas HaRegel. Umay v'zeh asher herim yad b'melech. What's meant by that part of the pasuk? Omar of Nachman, This idea of Heirim Yad B'Yad HaMelech is an idea of expressing chutzpah or audacity in front of the king, in front of Shlomo. So Rav Nachman says what he did was Shecholatz Tfilov B'Fonov. He removed his tefillin directly in front of the king. What he should have done is to remove them in a more humble, modest fashion. If he was near the king, he should have turned to the side to remove his tefillin. But by removing it in an offensive, straight out, direct fashion, that is a sign of audacity. Omar Rav Nachman, Gasus Horuach Shehoya Boi Birovam Terodoso Mina Olam. The haughtiness that Yerovam had in himself cast him out of this world. Shneamar, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Yerovam Beliboi. Yerovam calculated in internally, Ata Toshuv Hamamloch Lebeis David. This is a point in time at which Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, became the king, and he was fearful that when people would go on Aliyas HaRegel, we should add a little more here, that the point in time discussed here is after Rehavam, the son of Shlomo, was the king of Yehuda, the southern region. Yerovam, at this point, had been king of the northern region, but he was afraid that when the holiday season came around and everyone traveled south to the Beis HaMikdash, the people would see the honor bestowed to the king of Yehuda, Rehavam, and eventually the masses would claim he to be the only monarch, and Yerovam would lose his position. So Yerovam says in Belibo, in his heart, Ato toshuv hamamloch lebeis David, im yale o mazeh la'asoy zvochem beveis Hashem b'Yerushalayim, if this nation goes on Aliyas HaRegel to Yerushalayim, v'shov lev o mazeh la'adoneim el Rechavam melech Yehudah, the people will then turn away from me and turn to Rechavam, v'araguni, and they'll kill me, v'shovu el Rechavam melech Yehudah. This will be explained a little further as the Gemara unfolds. Omar, Yerovam was calculating as follows. Gemiri, there is a tradition. The Ein Yeshiva Ba'azor Lamalchi Beis David Bilvad. The only one who has a right to sit in the temple courtyard is the king who is a descendant from the house of David, from the Malchi Beis Yehuda. Yerovam was not from Beis Yehuda. Kevon dechazu leila rechavam diyosiv ve'ano ko'imna. When the masses will see Rechavam alone seated, and I would be standing, Savri, people will figure, Ho Malko Veho Avdo, that this is the king, and referring to himself, he is a subject. V'i Yasivna, and if I were to sit there, Mered B'malchus Havoi V'kadlenli, I would be guilty of rebelling against the monarchy, because sitting in the Azor is characteristic of the king alone, and if I were to do that, it would be as if I'm expressing a rebellion against the king, and I would be killed. The Oslu Basrei, and they'll follow him anyway. So either way, I'm in trouble. Miyad, immediately. Vayivoatz Hamelech Vayas Shnei Egle Zohov. He consulted, and he set up two golden calves. One was going to be placed in the north in Shevet Don, and the other in Basel, in the southern part of the northern kingdom. Vayomer Aleihem, and Yerovam told the people, Rav lochem alos Yerushalayim, it's too much trouble for you to go to Yerushalayim. Hine Elohecho Yisrael shehalucho meretz Mitzrayim. Here is the God, referring to these golden calves, that brought you forth from Mitzrayim. Vayosem esecho beveisel esecho nosan bedon. One he placed in Basel, which was the southern part of his kingdom, and the other he placed in the northern part of his kingdom. My vayivoatz. What is meant by that expression? Amar Yehuda shehoishiv rosha etzel tzadik. Yerovam was very scheming. One has to figure how in the world could he get away with such a thing, placing a calf in Basel and one in Don, and expect the people to go to these images instead of Aliyas HaRegel. How did it get started? So there was a scheme, and that's what is implied by the word Vayivatz. What did he do? Shehoshiv Rosha Etzel Tzadik. He took an evil man, we can call him a stooge, someone that was on his side of things, and he placed him next to a righteous person. Omar Lehu. The Yeravim asked them, these people, the Rosh and the Tzaddik, he asked them, Chasmisu, I'll call the Avid, no, would you sign to everything that I do? Omru, yes, we will sign, we will accept everything you declare. Omar Lehu, so he says to them, Malka Bo'ino Lemefe, I want to be a king. Omru Lei, Hain, so they said, fine, yes. Question, called the Amina Lehu Avitsu, everything that I say to do, will you do? Amrulei Hain. They said yes. Of course, as loyal subjects, they will listen to whatever the king says. He asks them, Afilu Lemiflach Lavoides Kechavim, even if I instruct you to, Miflach is to serve or worship idols. Omar Lei Tzadik, the Tzadik interjects, says, Chas V'Sholem, no, that we would never do. Amale Rosh HaTzadik, the stooge, says to the righteous man, he says, he turns to him and says, Salka Daitoch, the Gavro, Ki Yerovon Polach Lavidis Kechovim, Elo Limin Sinhu de Kaboi, I Kablisu Limimre. Do you think that a man like Yerovon would engage in idolatry? Elo Limin Sinhu means, from the word Nisayon, he's coming to test us out. Who the Kaboy he wants. He wants to test us out if we're fully accepting his rule. And with that, the Tzaddik understood, so to speak, that it was just a ploy and had no real idolatrous intention behind it. And the Rasha was successful in tricking the Tzaddik into signing. So what you have at the end of the day is some kind of document declaring that Yerovam is the one to follow whatever he says, even if it is idol worship. And lo and behold, you have a tzaddik signing that as well. And with that, he was able to seduce the masses into following him and his golden calves. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.